This morning we will be reading from Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. You'll find it in your pew Bibles on page 1014. As you're turning, a few announcements. All these beautiful poinsettias, I think that's the plural, right? Poinsettias. They must go. Before you leave today, take a poinsettia or two or three and bless your house and bless others during this Christmas season. We also have some in the hallway back here. So please do take some. And on Saturday, December 31st, we will be having an undecorating party at 9:30. The announcement is on the back of your bulletin. So if you can make that, please do come. So this has been the Advent season these past 4 weeks as we anticipate the coming of the Lord as King. We anticipate his coming as King as we anticipated, as many others had anticipated Christ's coming as the King, to set all things right, to set all things new. You read all throughout the Old Testament, the people of God anticipating the Messiah's coming to set things right. How surprising it must have been for them to see this little baby born in a barn instead. They had to look back at the prophecies and wonder, wait, I thought the Lord was going to come in pomp and circumstance, riding on a white horse to become king of creation once again. And we too, this morning, we come joining in their surprise as we've been anticipating the return of Christ the King. Instead, we get a little baby sleeping in a stable. It was a surprise then, and we join in their surprise now. But it's a surprise that was hidden in Scripture, nonetheless, that Jesus was to come as the Savior of the world in a sacrificial way, and then as he returns in a triumphal way. Let us read Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. The coming of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of God for the people of God. So I'll be going home right after church. Home is Fredericksburg, Virginia, and my brother and his wife and their two kids have flown down from Minnesota. My sister has driven up from Lynchburg and brought her new boyfriend, which we will certainly grill. My parents have had an empty nest since around 2004, but they have a fairly large house with four bedrooms, so they're always excited when the family comes, whether it's immediate family or extended family or future family. And it's even more exciting when we can fill all the rooms and we start opening up the couches and pulling out more linen to make other places for people to sleep. It's really exciting for them because, remember, they are empty nesters. So it's great to have family coming. Well, it is always a happy time, and it'll be a happy time these next few days when we run out of beds. But it was not a happy time for Joseph and Mary when they traveled to Bethlehem and there were no more rooms. There was no room in the inn, so they had to sleep in a little stable with the sheep and the donkeys and chickens and whoever else was in there. But we often pass over this little detail in the story. There was no room in the inn. Why was there no room in the inn? Why? Yeah? There was a lot of people, right? A lot of people that went to a little town, Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, I mean, the only thing they were known for was raising sheep. So it was fitting that the Lamb of God would be born in a little town that just raises sheep. Yeah, there was no room because so many people had come to this town for the census, right? So we're talking about the superpower of the age, Rome, the Roman Empire. They decided to have a census. And they didn't mail out surveys so that everyone can fill out and return. No, the Caesar said, go to your hometown and we'll count you there. You do the work. And so Joseph, being from Bethlehem, he had to go back to Bethlehem. And he took his soon-to-be wife, Mary, with him. And there was no room in the inn for them. But why? Why does the Bible tell us this? I mean, it's a detail that could easily have been forgotten or passed over. Why does the Bible tell us that there was no room in the inn? Well, I think it is a message for every generation, including us, that often there is no room for Jesus Christ. Countries today, every nation in the world, they have their own plans, right? They don't consult God for God's plans. No, they take census, right? They kingdom build. They are building their own kingdoms. The governments run their own agendas. Very rarely will you hear a government official say, well, I decided to vote on this bill because that's what Jesus would do. No, you don't hear that, right? Often there are other considerations, many considerations that often are connected with kingdom building, nation building. building up that nation and not God's nation. Well, as it was then, it's the same now. The people of God, even many times, have no room for Jesus. They don't even expect him in their lives. Remember, the little town that Joseph and Mary went to was Bethlehem. This was a Jewish town that full of people anticipating and waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But when the Messiah came, they had no room for him. In fact, God had to send angels, not just one, but a host of angels. We don't know how many a host was, but I'm sure it filled the sky. He had to send a host of angels just to tell them that Jesus was there. And the shepherds came to worship the Christ, only because of the angels. The only people who knew that Jesus had come were the wise men, or the kings, right? The kings from the east. These were the non-Christians of the time. The non-Christians knew of Christ's coming, even more than the people of God. And sometimes it's the same today, that it is the non-Christians that see Jesus working in this world before we ever do. We have to keep our eyes open, because it's not just the world that has no room for Jesus, but it is often us as Christians who have no room. Not because we decide to, but because other things get in the way. The commercialism of Christmas, we're busy decorating and shopping, giving gifts and receiving gifts, and we never take the time to stop and realize, wait a minute, we give and receive gifts because this was when God gave us the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, the truest gift. Oh, we often will give Jesus Sunday mornings, but the rest of our lives, we want to make decisions on our own. And is that much different than telling Mary and Joseph to go spend the night in a little stable? We have our own place, and Jesus, you can hang out over here. We relegate Jesus to a small part of our life. Well, we come this morning because we don't want to make that mistake, a mistake that is so easily made. We want to make room for Jesus. We want to expect him when he comes around the corner. We are all innkeepers of our own hearts, and we encounter situations every day that we can allow Jesus to inhabit, to guide us, to live in our lives, and we live in his life. We see that Bethlehem, the city of King David, had no room for the heir of King David, but others did. Three others. The first was the lowly. Well, certainly the sheep and the cattle, they made room for Jesus in their manger, right? They held off eating the hay for a while to allow Jesus to sleep in their little manger. But also others who didn't have the money to pay the innkeeper to find them a little space to sleep in the inn. Many others who were poor perhaps were also in the stable or other places, perhaps homeless that night, no place to sleep. Jesus was with them. Jesus is with the poor, the homeless, those without families, those who are immigrants, then as he is today. Some will say, Lord, we never told you to sleep in the stable. But Jesus will say, whenever you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And so as Christians, we make room for the lowly, especially during Christmas season, those without families, those who are homeless, the immigrants, the orphans, the widows. We make room for them because in doing so, we make room for Jesus. We also see that Mary made room for Jesus, for she treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. She gave Jesus time, right? Time. Time seems to be one of the most valuable things today. It is for me. I'd rather take my car to a mechanic to get the oil change than to do it myself, to pay a little money so I have that extra time during the day. My time is just too valuable, I say. Well, you get to know someone by how they use their time, right? You spend a week with somebody, and at the end of the week, you really know who they are, what they value, how they spend their time. And we see Mary, she spent her time pondering these things in her heart. She pondered Christ. It's a discipline that we Christians can easily forget to do. Take some time this Christmas season. Stop. Stop everything and ponder Christ. Do nothing but think about Christ. Take the passage this morning and just read it and think about it. Ponder it. What is Christ saying to you in this passage? How does this passage relate to your life? Pondering opens you up for Christ to dwell in you so that you make room for Christ in your heart. Thirdly, the shepherds. The shepherds made room for Christ, also with their time, but also with their efforts too. Do you remember what the first thing the shepherds did after they saw Christ? They went and they told other people, right? They shared this wonderful message. They made room for Christ in their relationships. As they met someone, Christ was present as they spoke of Christ in the conversation. This is another way that we can make room for Christ in our lives. As we help the lowly, as we ponder, we will meet people who need to hear this wonderful message, a message that often is drowned out by stories of Santa Claus and Christmas trees. We want to tell people the original meaning of Christmas, the nativity. And this is bringing Jesus back in and making room for him. Well, as you return to your families this afternoon, and perhaps open a few more gifts, remember, Christ had no room in the world 2,000 years ago, but you have a decision to make this morning and this afternoon to make room for Christ. Ponder these things during these next few days of the Christmas season and make room for Christ. If you would like to make room for Christ in your heart today, if you never have accepted Christ, I encourage you to come forward during this last hymn of invitation. If you would like to join Mount Hermon Baptist Church as a community that makes room for Christ in the lives of the poor, the homeless, the orphan, the widow, the immigrant, those in our community in need, then I invite you also to come forward in membership. And if there's any other decision you'd like to make in front of your family here this morning, I encourage you to come forward. Join me as we pray. Lord, we thank you for this story, the story of your son's birth. And now it has been handed down faithfully from Christian saint to Christian saint, arriving in our hands this morning. We thank you for the messages that are timeless, teaching us through this story, through your scripture, through Christ. Lord, we ask that Christ may dwell in our hearts today, that we make room for him in our hearts, in our time, in our actions this day. We pray these things in the name of the one who came like us to save those like him, Jesus Christ. Amen.